Good morning. The reading is from Acts chapter 4, verses 23 to 31. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Jill. Thank you very much. Well, many years ago, I went to a conference led by the late John Wimber. He was a man with an incredible ministry of teaching and healing and deliverance. And so when he said, I have one prayer that God always answers, everyone got their notebooks out and their pens ready to write down this amazing prayer. And he said, my prayer is, oh God, help, which is quite a fantastic prayer, and I recommend it to you. When the early church first began and it faced opposition, it prayed and it prayed and it prayed. And the prayer recorded for us in Acts chapter 4 that you heard just now is a model prayer for any church and a model prayer for any individual. So let me briefly draw our attention to a few key things about how the church in those days prayed. Firstly, their prayer was a first resort, not a last resort. How many times have you heard someone say something like this? Well, we've done all we can, so all we can do now is pray. Well, by contrast, the attitude of the early church was that before anything else, let's pray. Prayer came first. And so it's no surprise that the church prayed first when they faced trouble. In the early days, it says of the first believers, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They were devoted to prayer. And that speaks of passion, doesn't it, and commitment. They were devoted to praying, otherwise nothing would have happened. The great evangelist and founder of the Methodist Church, John Wesley, once said, God does nothing except in response to believing prayer. Well, back to the early church, secondly, they prayed together as one. In fact, it says they raised their voices together in prayer to God. They were united in heart and mind and purpose and will. And did you know that church unity attracts the power of God in the same way that a lightning conductor attracts lightning and power? It says in Psalm 133, this is the beginning and the end of the psalm, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. It goes on, for there the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. So as we guard our relationships, as we open to the Holy Spirit, God pours in the blessing. Next, we see when the early church prayed. Their prayer began with praise and thanksgiving. They prayed, "Sovereign Lord," they said, "you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them." And that's a great way to start to pray, by acknowledging God with praise and thanksgiving. And that puts our focus on him and his greatness and not upon our problems. It's the right way around. Now, if you find it hard to start to pray, then just try praising him first. No matter what you're feeling or what you're going through and all the rest of it, start by acknowledging him. And that prayer of praise becomes a launch pad for prayer. You know how tissues come out of a box one after the other? Well, if you start your prayers with praise, the rest comes out in the words that you're searching for, or the prayer. Then again, the early church, their prayer was interwoven with scripture. As they prayed, they quoted in this case from Psalm 2, which contains this prophecy. "Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one." This is saying, and they're saying it to themselves, how pointless it is for anyone to try to oppose what God wants to do. And so this opposition to the church that they were facing was bound to fail. Prayer which reflects the will of God as expressed in Scripture will always be powerful. And finally, we see when the early church prayed, their prayer prioritized the growth of God's kingdom. They didn't pray for the opposition to go, or, "Lord, you know, bring fire down on your enemies," and all that kind of stuff. No, they left all of that. They left the whole situation to God, but they prayed, "Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus." In other words, they actually prayed for more and more of what was upsetting their enemies. More boldness in preaching, more signs and wonders, and more church growth. Or, to put it another way, they were saying, in effect, "Your kingdom come." And who taught us to pray that? And notice what happened. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. They did get answer because their prayers were in line with the will of God, and the place where they were meeting was shaken. You know, when God moves, things begin to shake in more ways than one. There was an earthquake when Jesus rose from the dead. There was an earthquake when Paul and Silas were praying and worshipping in jail, and all the doors flew open, and the chains, their chains and the chains of the prisoners were all broken, and they were all set free. So here's a thought. What will be shaken when we pray? Who knows? The church? The government? The nation? You and me? When Isaiah was called by God and heard him speak, the temple shook. And Isaiah was quite shaken too, maybe shaken out of complacency, maybe shaken out of unbelief. Who knows? But all of that is a story for another time. Right now, guess what? We are going to pray. Please don't be alarmed. Listen carefully. I want to encourage us all to get into small groups, which means that physically, we have to move a little bit and maybe even move a chair or two. And I'm suggesting that we get into groups of 3, 4, or 5. Not too small, not too big, but groups. Now, if you are not familiar with prayer like this, perhaps you're a visitor, I don't know, then please don't feel compelled to do anything. It's quite okay just to sort of sit there and listen to other people pray. But we are going to pray in groups. And I want to say too that, you know, silent prayer is absolutely fine. It's really good if people can lead and pray out loud. But if your prayers are silent prayers in your heart, that's absolutely fine. So what are we going to pray for? Well, that's really up to the Holy Spirit. But he seems to have impressed upon the leadership a few things. So right now, let's see these prayer points scroll through. I won't read them all out, but they go through fairly quickly. You can see what's coming up. Okay. Now, I want to stress that this is not prescriptive. You don't have to work your way through them religiously one after the other. These are prayer pointers, and maybe one of those strikes a chord, and you'd really want to pray about that and stick with it. That's absolutely fine, but this is all to encourage us so that as a church together we're praying for important things. Okay. So this stuff on the screen will carry on scrolling through, so you can keep your eye on it and see what else to pray for. Now, it's over to you and me and the Holy Spirit. So could I encourage you to do a very non-Church of England thing and actually move in the service. You are not stuck to your chairs. There's no super glue on them. But just gravitate towards those you perhaps feel most comfortable with. You can move the chairs. And we're just going to carry on praying. And at some point, okay, we're going to be moving on shortly, as it were. So those prayers perhaps could come to a conclusion. You know that prayer is a conversation with God, and it's a two-way conversation. It might just be this morning that you heard God speak to you in some way through a verse of scripture or a picture. And if that's the case, please feel free to come forward at the end. We'd love to hear what you believe God is saying.